The book of Joel, chapter 3. Next week will be our last message in this series on the book of Joel. So, Joel chapter 3, verses 1 through 14 this evening. Let's stand together that we might honor the reading of God's Word. We invite you, wherever you are, to stand with your Bible and follow along and honor God's Word as well, wherever you are. Joel chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. For behold, in those days and at that time, when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all the nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Then I will enter into judgment with them there on behalf of my people and my inheritance, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, and they have divided up my land. They have also cast lots for my people, traded a boy for a harlot and sold a girl for wine that they may drink. Moreover, what are you to me, O Tyre, Sidon, and all the regions of Philistia? Are you rendering me a recompense? But if you do recompense me, swiftly and speedily I will return your recompense on your head. Since you have taken my silver and my gold, brought my precious treasures to your temples, and sold the sons of Judah and Jerusalem to the Greeks in order to remove them far from their territory, behold, I am going to arouse them from the place where you have sold them and return your recompense on your head. Also, I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the sons of Judah, and they will sell them to the Sabaeans, to a distant nation, for the Lord has spoken. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare a war. Rouse the mighty men. Let all the soldiers draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am a mighty man. Hasten and come, all you surrounding nations, and gather yourselves there. Bring down, O Lord, your mighty ones. Let the nations be aroused and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, tread, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Lord, as we tremble before a passage such as this, we do so as well with thanks that those of us who are believers of this church age will be caught up to meet you in the air before this occurs. Yet, Lord, we do see here that it will occur. So, Lord, instruct us in it and give us the proper outlooks and priorities as we would seek to apply these truths tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 3 of Joel is continuing what we began in chapter 2, verse 28. It is dealing with the last days, and we covered that last time. In chapter 3, at verse 2, you will see that this section deals with the future judgment of the Gentiles, what verse 2 calls the nations. I will gather all the nations, the Gentiles. This is non-Jewish nations. Verse 1 gives us the time of this future judgment. It will be, verse 1 says, behold, in those days and at that time. Now that's going directly back to verses 31 and 32 of the previous chapter, where in verse 30-31, before the great and terrible day of the Lord, that is before what you normally call the tribulation, there will be cosmic signs, sun turned to darkness, moon into blood. And then there will be the day of the Lord. As we come to the end of that tribulation period, there will be the salvation and deliverance of Jewish people who look to Jesus as their Messiah at his second coming to earth. Remember, at the rapture, Jesus does not come to the earth. But at the second coming, Jesus comes to the earth. And he will come and deliver. And chapter 2, verse 32 says, there will be those who escape on Mount Zion in Jerusalem, those who call on the name of the Lord and will be delivered. And there will be survivors of that time. In chapter 3, verse 1, then, in those days and at that time, We're talking about at the second coming of Jesus. And we're talking about when, in verse 1, the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem will be restored. Now, when is that? That's the millennial kingdom. Jesus comes, establishes his kingdom. Israel is regathered, all of the tribes, and the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem are restored. So when is this going to take place? It's going to take place at the second coming of Jesus, right before the millennial kingdom begins, when the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem are restored. Verse 2 gives us the place of this future judgment. The place is the Valley of Jehoshaphat. I will gather all the nations, all of these Gentile nations, and bring them down to the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Now, the geography, the identity of the Valley of Jehoshaphat, when you just read through your Old Testament, it's not completely easy to figure out what this is. And so many identify it with the Kidron Valley. But it's probably bigger than the Kidron Valley, because you do notice here it says later, there will be multitudes, multitudes in this valley for this judgment. If you would be standing on the south side of the Temple Mount and looking away from the temple, on your left would be the Kidron Valley. On your right would be the Hinnom Valley. The Hinnom Valley is where Gehenna was. It was the place of burning. It was like the garbage dump for Jerusalem, and where they threw and buried dead bodies and all kinds of bad things happened there. And then if you are still looking straight south, the Kidron Valley and the Hinnom Valley kind of come together and form another huge valley. And that is probably what we're referring to here as the Valley of Jehoshaphat. It's very large. This will be the place of this future judgment. If you ask why, it's because verse 2 says so. So the Lord is gathering the nations there. Now, also in verse 2, we see the purpose of this future judgment. In verse 2, I will enter into judgment with them there. Notice, this is the Lord. He will enter into judgment with them there. That means the Lord will be there. Entering into judgment with them there. Why? What's the purpose? On behalf of my people and my inheritance, Israel. The purpose of this judgment is the Lord's vindication and bringing justice for Israel. All that has been thought against Israel, said against Israel, and done against Israel throughout human history will be judged. And all that is thought about Israel, said about Israel, and done against Israel during the coming tribulation period will be judged there in the valley of Jehoshaphat. A judgment on behalf of the people of Israel. Jesus talked about this judgment. It's what you often call the sheep and the goat judgment. Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 31. And if you want to find it, you can just follow along, and I'll point some things out here. Matthew 25, verse 31. But when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. That is Messiah's throne in Jerusalem. Jesus will sit on His throne in Jerusalem. And what will happen? Matthew 25, 32. And all the nations, Gentiles, will be gathered before Him. And He will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Why? For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? Verse 40, the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine. Now this is Jesus speaking at his second coming, at this judgment, and he says, inasmuch as you did it to one of these brothers of mine. Who's he talking about? He's talking about Jewish people during the tribulation. The Jewish people, his brothers. You did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they themselves also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you? And then he will answer them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. What's happening there? This judgment is about how Jewish people have been treated. Yeah. So that's the purpose of this judgment. What happens in the tribulation, but also, as we're going to see, all throughout history. The Lord did say, remember Genesis 12, the Lord said this for Abraham, those who bless you, those who bless your seed will be what? Blessed. Those who curse you will be what? Cursed. Attitudes, words, treatment of Israel throughout human history, there is a specific end time judgment for that. And that's what Joel's talking about here. Now back to Joel chapter 3. Joel gives reasons for this future judgment. Chapter 3, still the last half of verse 2. Whom they have scattered among the nations. The Gentiles have scattered Israel among the nations. And there are those who say, well, of course, the Assyrians did that, and the Babylonians did that. But do you know it still goes on? Do you know World War II did that? Do you know it happens in your lifetime? Scattered among the nations. That's a reason for future judgment. The very end of verse 2, and they have divided up my land. They, Gentiles, have divided up the land that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They've divided up the land. Psalm 83, verses 3 and 4, a prophecy about an end time war, but it reads like you're reading today's news. Psalm 83, verse 3. They make shrewd plans against your people and conspire together against your treasured ones. Psalm 83, verse 4. They have said, come and let us wipe them out as a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more. Now, can you get more anti-Jewish in your sentiment than that? Anti-Jewish sentiment and anti-Jewish actions. The so-called Palestinians, they've been offered all kinds of deals for decades, haven't they? But they turn them down. Why? They want the Jews out. Iran has said it quite vocally. We want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. Now, you do know Iran, the Palestinians, and anybody else who comes against Israel, they're all going to lose. Okay? But they will be judged for their attitudes, their thoughts, their behaviors, their actions, everything they're doing. Anti-Jewish opinion will be judged in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. It will be. Now, that's a powerful message for now, isn't it? It's a powerful message. In chapter 3, verse 3, another reason is given. The Gentiles have sold Jewish people, cast lots for my people. Traded a boy for a harlot, sold a girl for wine that they may drink. The selling Jewish people, including children, into slavery for prostitution and alcohol. Is that going on today? Oh, yes, it is. And you hear it again and again and again. Sex trafficking. Sex slavery. Buying and selling. It's bigger in the world now than it was in Joel's day. Say, well, are Jewish girls and boys being sold? Yes. And do you know what? All of that will be judged at this future judgment. In verses 4 and 5, Tyre, Sidon, and Philistia are picked on. By the way, Philistia, the Philistines, that is the Palestinians today. Tyre, Sidon, they are pointed out. Why? Because they had robbed the Jewish temple of its treasures and taken those temple treasures to bring back home and put in their own pagan temples. You know what? The Lord took that seriously. In chapter 3, verse 6, Tyre, Sidon, and Philistia are also pointed out because they sold Jewish people as slaves to the Greeks. Now, there will be a lot more reasons for this judgment. We read some of them in Matthew chapter 25. But here, Joel gives these reasons. This is mistreatment of Israel, of the Jewish people. And there will be accountability for that. Now in verses 7 and 8, we see concerning this matter of selling Jewish people as slaves to the Greeks, that there will be even more immediate fulfillments of this future judgment. In other words, the Lord isn't going to even wait until the Valley of Jehoshaphat to bring retribution for some of these things. Some of these things are done historically. So while verses 7 and 8 were future for Joel when he wrote this, verses 7 and 8 are history to us. because they've happened. The Lord says, because you've sold Jewish sons and daughters to the Greeks, I'm going to have someone sell your sons and daughters to the Jews, who then will sell them to the Sabaeans, who are Arabians. Now, how was this fulfilled? Sons and daughters of Sidon were sold by Artaxerxes III of Persia in 345 BC, sold to the Jews, who then sold them to others. And in 332 BC, sons and daughters of Tyre and Philistia, and in case you're wondering about my treatment of Philistia, it was literally from the city of Gaza that Alexander the Great sold their sons and daughters to the Jews, who then sold them to the Arabians. So that recompense has happened. The Lord will bring justice and defend his people, Israel. And that has happened. Now, verses 9 through 14 then are dealing with the future fulfillments of this future judgment. What happens at the second coming of Jesus? And what will this look like? Verses 9 through 12, we see the movement of nations to Armageddon and on to the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Verse 9, prepare a war. They're being moved to war. Let the soldiers draw near. Let them come up. Verse 10, I hope it got your interest when we did the reading tonight, because verse 10 is the reverse of Isaiah 2:4 and Micah 4:3. Isaiah 2:4 and Micah 4:3, when Jesus sits on his throne in Jerusalem, he says that all of the swords will be beaten into plowshares. Right? That's for the millennial kingdom. And it says they won't practice war anymore. You know, that's the statement inscribed on the front of the United Nations building in New York. Of course, they think they're accomplishing it. They're not doing very well, are they? They think they're accomplishing it. But verse 10 here is the opposite. This is, beat your plowshares into swords. Not beat your swords into plowshares. This is, they are going to take farming implements and make weapons out of them to fight at Armageddon. You're pruning hooks into spears, not the other way around. Let the weak say, I'm a mighty man. Well, you know what? That's kind of an absurdity. Let the weak, hey, look, I've got my spear. I've got my sword. I'm a mighty man. Verse 11, hasten and come, all you surrounding nations, all the Gentile nations, all of them, come, gather yourselves there. Bring down, O Lord, your mighty ones. That's what's going to end up happening at that battle. Jesus will come with his angels and with his church. And all he does is breathe out of his mouth. And these armies are done. Yeah, we're mighty men. You're finished. They're done. But there are survivors, and let them, verse 12, be aroused and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge. Do you see this judgment at the valley of Jehoshaphat requires Messiah, Jesus, to be physically present on earth, sitting in the valley of Jehoshaphat, probably his throne brought out there. He's there. This judgment cannot occur without Jesus physically present on earth. There it is. I'll sit and judge all the surrounding nations. This is the movement of this. We see movement like this in Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16, beginning at verse 12. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river, the Euphrates, and its water was dried up so that the way could be prepared for the kings from the east. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet three unclean spirits like frogs. For they are spirits of demons, performing signs which go out to the kings of the whole earth. Why? To gather them together for the war of the great day of God, the Almighty. Behold, I'm coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes so that he will not walk about naked and men will not see his shame. And they gathered them together to the place which in Hebrew is called Har-Mageddon. Armageddon. They're gathered, they will be gathered to Armageddon. Kings, nations from the whole world gathered there. Joel says from all the nations gathered there. Is the Lord gathering them there? Yes. Is Satan, are demons gathering them there? Yes. Are kings, is the Antichrist gathering them there? Yes. That gathering occurs on the human level, on the satanic, demonic level, and on the divine level. Okay? And it's prophesied in your Bible. Make no mistake about it. Armageddon is the sovereign plan of God. Yeah. And it will move in that direction. Isaiah chapter 34, we won't look at it tonight, but it says some very similar things, that all of the nations will be brought together for this battle. Now, Armageddon, the Megiddo Valley is a long valley all the way from Megiddo, and it comes down to Jerusalem. The mountain, Har, Megiddo, is probably a reference to the Temple Mount itself. So this whole thing is filled with armies, and what they're after is the Temple Mount. And of course, their desire is to kill this some kind of cosmic UFO coming from the sky. Oh, it's Jesus, the Messiah. But they will lose. But then you keep coming around the Temple Mount, and at Jesus' second coming, that whole thing is going to be changed. The topography will be changed as soon as Jesus touches his foot to the Mount of Olives. The mountain splits. And people come through. There are survivors of the tribulation. Unsaved survivors of the tribulation. Do those unsaved survivors get to go into the millennial kingdom? No, they do not. So, what does this judgment look like? Joel 3:13-14, put in the sickle, tread, the winepress is full. You see that exact language in Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. Verses 14 through 20. I looked, behold, a white cloud, and sitting on the cloud was one like a son of man, having a golden crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. And another angel came out of the temple, crying out with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, put in your sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come because the harvest of the earth is ripe. Then he who sat on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth. The earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven. He also had a sharp sickle. Then another angel, the one who has power over fire, came down from the altar. And he called with a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, put in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters from the vine of the earth, because her grapes are ripe. So the angel swung his sickle to the earth, gathered the clusters from the vine of the earth, and threw them into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden outside the city, and blood came out from the winepress up to the horses' bridles, for a distance of 200 miles. That's all the way from Megiddo down through Jerusalem, past Jerusalem, and all the way into Edom. Toward Petra. All of that, 200 miles of blood in this. Now, you say, well, that's Armageddon. What about this Valley of Jehoshaphat? The Valley of Jehoshaphat is just a continuation of the Valley of Megiddo. It's just a continuation of it. So, what's happening in the Valley of Jehoshaphat? Judgment, verse 14, multitudes in the Valley of Decision. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people. People who survive. The day of the Lord is near. This is a culminating feature of the tribulation period. This is a wrap-up, closing judgment of Armageddon in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. What will happen there? Well, we saw in Matthew chapter 25, didn't we? Jesus will be sitting on his throne, and everyone who has treated Jewish people well, it will be demonstrated they have treated Jewish people well because they are righteous. They have actually really believed. Those are the sheep, and they get to do what? Go into the millennial kingdom alive. But what about the goats who mistreated Israel, who mocked and scorned Jewish people? What about them? They will have proven that they are not saved. And they will be sent into eternal fire. eternal punishment. They're lost. They will be killed and sent into eternal punishment. Yeah. You know, you might say, hey, you know what? I grew up in a home where it was okay and it was common to make slurs about Jewish people and all of that. You might have. You might have been brought up that way. Do you know there is judgment for that? That doesn't mean you can't tell a good Jewish joke. You know, I mean, some of my Jewish friends love good Jewish jokes. Okay, that's not the point. But to have some kind of bias against the Jews, to have some kind of opinions against them, to have viewpoints against them, that is contrary to the heart of God. It is. And there will be judgment for it. And do you know what? There will even be Jewish people in the tribulation period who do not believe in Jesus as their Messiah, and they will be lost. They will not be part of the all Israel shall be saved. Look with me at Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20, beginning at verse 35. And I shall bring you, this is unsaved Jewish people, I'll bring you into the wilderness of the peoples, and there I shall enter into judgment with you face to face. As I entered into judgment with your fathers in the wilderness in the land of Egypt, so I will enter into judgment with you, declares the Lord God. I shall make you pass under the rod, and I shall bring you into the bond of the covenant, and I shall purge from you the rebels and those who transgress against me. I shall bring them out of the land where they sojourn, but they will not enter the land of Israel. Thus you will know that I am the Lord. Unsaved Jewish people will be purged out of Israel, will be made to pass under the rod. They will be killed. They will physically die. You see, at this judgment in the wilderness, in the valley of Jehoshaphat, unsaved people, even Jews, but also Gentiles who have mistreated Israel, they will be evaluated by Jesus himself, and the punishment will be immediate. They're dead. Say, well, don't I have the right to an appeal? There is no higher court than Jesus. There's no one to appeal to. He's it. And Jesus says, these are the goats. They die. And they go into eternal fire. These are the rebels among the Jews. They die. They go into eternal fire. They do not get to enter into the promised land, into the kingdom. That's the judgment. The judgment of the Gentiles. You know, just start a discussion, whether it's in your neighborhood or your workplace or among any group of unsaved people you can think of, and say, now the topic of our discussion is God's judgment against those who mistreat Jewish people. Let's talk about that. Do you know you will get mocked? Oh, yeah. That's an absurd idea. There will be thousands upon thousands upon thousands of Gentiles in the valley of Jehoshaphat who will be totally surprised at this. But Jesus, and Jesus will say, you know what? Those Jewish people that you mistreated, they were my brothers. And as much as you did it to the least of them, you've done it to me, Jesus says. See, that in as much as you've done it to the least of them is not Jesus. You know, in the blasphemous liberal apostate churches, the way that's taught is Jesus says, all men are my brothers. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus didn't say, all men are my brothers. So, you know, this is a platform for you ought to feed people and clothe people and visit the sick and visit people in prison and all of that, because when you visit them, you're visiting Jesus. No, you're not. That's talking about Jewish people. There will even be people who have grown up in all of these liberal, heretical, Protestant churches who teach this so humanistically and erroneously, and they're going to end up shocked when they say, "Oh, but I was nice to people. I was nice to people and I helped people." Yeah, but you're lost. Eternal fire for you. You're lost. So, this judgment is, Joel says it very clearly, on behalf of the Lord's people. He calls Israel his inheritance on behalf of them. And I hope you see tonight the Lord takes this very seriously. When Jesus comes to earth at his second coming, this is one of his first orders of business, to take care of this. And yes, people's eternal destiny is at stake in this. Heavenly Father, as we have seen this tonight, I trust that your love and identification with your people, Israel, comes through very powerfully here for us. Again, I thank you tonight that before this judgment comes about, we will have been raptured. But Lord, I do pray that this teaching might serve to call maybe some who are not yet saved tonight to trust in Jesus for their salvation, realizing that if they don't and they're left behind to face this, they have a serious judgment coming. Lord, I pray for the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, still tonight scattered all around the world. And I pray, Father, that there will be many of them even now who will trust in Jesus as their Messiah and be saved and be part of the body of Christ and be raptured with us. Lord, help us tonight to be discerning not only concerning our times in which we live, but help us, Lord, to be aware and mindful that these things that have been prophesied centuries ago are now upon us. They are near, even right at the door. Give us, Lord, urgency concerning these matters, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.